You're listening to Colchonero Chat, the only weekly English language podcast on Atletico Madrid and a part of Into the Calderon, the SB Nation home for all things Atletico. I'm Jeremy Barron, my guest on this edition of Colchonero Chat, making his standard Monday appearance on the program is Rob Walker. Rob is a staff writer at Into the Calderon. He joins me to discuss the Vitolo signing. We go in depth on the Sevilla winger's arrival, what he brings to the table, and whether he will be worth it in the end. We also discuss the latest on Diego Costa and his soon-to-be infamous Instagram Live video. We also answer your questions and a lot more. Before we continue, you are encouraged to like Into the Calderon on Facebook at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon, and you can also subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of this program, Colchonero Chat, on the podcasting platform of your choice, iTunes, Stitcher, Acast, Google Play, and TuneIn. We'll be right back after this. I am sorry for the delay, but I was indulging in chicken and waffles.
Well, that I can certainly understand.
As someone in the South, in the deep South, I'm sure you can understand this.
Yeah, I can. I am all in for that. That sounds exciting.
Yeah. The last time you were on, Rob, we did a podcast about Vitolo, and now he wasn't coming to Atletico.
Yeah, we were pretty sure. And you were very angry.
I mean, kinda. I was heated. I was heated for sure.
Yes.
But now, as we sit here on this Monday night, we're recording a little later than usual, but as we sit here, about 5 days, no, a little longer than that, 7 days, we did this a week ago, a week after our last podcast, Vitolo was signed. How about that?
Yes, and what is the most bootleg transfer that I have or can remember?
Like, I can't believe they actually
did it. It's exciting.
I can't believe they actually did it.
Yeah, no.
After screwing it up, like, they did it.
So much could have gone wrong.
And so much did go wrong. They had the deal fall through, and then they still ended up getting it done.
Just barely, though, after, you know, Las Palmas' director almost screwed it up, and then Sevilla's director really stuck his foot into it, so, you know.
Yeah, so for our listeners who may not be so familiar with how this got done, last Monday we did the podcast. This was after Sevilla's president, Pepe Castro, had announced that Vitolo had signed a 5-year renewal to 2022 with a 50 million euro buyout clause. We found out Monday night into Tuesday that Vitolo had in fact not signed the renewal. And that is actually important. Vitolo's father signed it. His agent signed it. Vitolo didn't. And that opened the door for Simeone to call him at 1 in the morning on, I think, Tuesday. And Atletico, to convince Vitolo, Atletico offered him $8 million a year. Higher terms and the convincing of Simeone. Apparently that changed Vitolo's mind. And he was supposed to show up at Sevilla Stadium, the Sanchez-Pizjuan, on Tuesday to sign his renewal. He never showed up. Instead, he took a private jet to Madrid to finish off from Gran Canaria. He took a private jet to finish off the deal. And then Wednesday's clause was paid. We're pretty sure Atletico paid it, but had Las Palmas pay it for them. It's a really weird, complicated tax story. Like, we'll know, like, whoever, if it shows up in, like, Las Palmas' accounts or Atletico's accounts, I don't know that much, because I'm not a financial expert, but Las Palmas paid the clause with Atletico's money, and Vitolo is now an Atletico player, and he's training with Las Palmas. He's going to play there until January.
Yeah, it's complicated, to say the least.
Like, this has got to be the most complicated transfer, obviously not rumored, but the one that's actually been completed. Like,
yeah,
crazy.
And there's so much to go around because Atletico couldn't loan him. It would have been a lot simpler if they could have just bought him and loaned him to Las Palmas,
yeah.
But, you know.
So here's where that comes in, because there has been some confusion. We've gotten a lot of questions about, you know, how can Atletico do this? They're under a transfer ban. Transfer ban does not mean registration ban. What Atletico are under is a registration ban. That means they can make signings. Well, they can sign whoever the heck they want, but they can't register to – Atletico cannot register players to play for Atletico.
Yeah, but this is almost not even a transfer, really, because Las Palmas sort of seemed like they paid his clause, and he signs a 6-month deal with them, even though Atletico announced he signed a deal till 2022 with them. So, you know, it's kind of a wink wink nod nod deal here.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, we're not doing this, but we secretly are doing this. You know?
Secretly, that everyone literally knows about.
secretly, everyone knows we're bending the rules, like, to the point where you can see cracks as it's about to break.
Right, exactly.
But Vitolo has signed to 2022. It's a 150 million euro buyout clause. As reported, he's going to be making 8 million per year, 8 million euros per year. Griezmann is on 13 or 14 million a year. I'm almost certain that Vitolo is now the second highest paid player on the team. Like, just above Koke and Saul. But regardless, after all the rumors and all the hand-wringing that we went through with this deal, it's finally done. But all this madness to get Vitolo, as good as he is, and then I wrote about this in a column on the site, Vitolo may not be worth the madness for Atletico, in which I argue that he may not be worth the madness. Just what the headline says, that as good a player as he is, was he really what Atletico needed? So, Rob, what do you think?
I think it's kind of good, not only in terms of that was a hole in the team that Atletico needed to fill, but as well that it sort of benefited in the way that this was a player that Simeone had wanted for quite some time. And this sort of, I don't know, kind of makes his position a little bit better and a little less scary. So, not just in terms of him being a player that Atletico needed, which I do think that he was, to sort of fill in the gap on that right-hand side. You know, I think it could end up working out. And also, I think 35 million euros, which was, I think, the buyout clause, isn't really that much for a player that's squarely in their prime. In terms of someone that's very experienced in La Liga and, you know, is in a pretty premium position, you'd say.
Yeah, you make two important points there. Number one was what he cost. And in this market, you were seeing players routinely go for 50, 60 million euros. Vitolo went for 37.5, which is the second highest fee paid in Atletico's history behind only Radamel Falcao. And that was back in 2011. So with market inflation, and that's a pretty good deal for a full international and a winger who is a star on his team, one of the best wingers in the league. So from the financial standpoint, it's actually a pretty good deal when you consider the current financial climate. The second point that you made was, I guess, in a way toward convincing Simeone, right? Simeone had been targeting Vitolo for years. Atletico finally got him, you know, 4 years after Simeone first said he wanted him. And if Atletico want to reopen contract negotiations with Cholo, it's going to be important that you get his targets. And this was a big target. Now, granted, some of Cholo's targets in the past have not really worked out. See Nico Gaitán. See Vieto. And that was another one. Because because Simeone had coached Vieto in Argentina. But, you know, more often than not, Cholo is pretty good with his requests, and this is the guy who has revitalized this club and turned it into an elite team that's now second in the UEFA rankings behind only Real Madrid. You have to please him at all costs. Now, whether or not Vitolo works out is a different story, but you have to please Simeone, and this pleases him.
Yeah, that's true, and, you know, I think it'll be interesting to see, as you say, that, you know, as we've seen, some of Simeone's transfers don't always work out, and whether or not, or how much of a role the Atleti board played in that and how much was purely down to him. Like you say, the Vieto one was him and not really great. But, you know, if he turns out to, you know, some managers are very good at coaching but not so much at bringing in players. So we'll see how it goes with this whole Vieto thing.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's that big of a risk, really.
Yeah, it's Vitolo does help because he's going to solidify in 4-4-2, he's going to solidify the right-hand side. He can play all across the forward line if Atleti switch to 4-3-3. He can play all across the midfield, even as a central midfielder in a more attacking role. But I do question if he was the biggest need. Because Atletico, at some point, they have to address the fact that Gabi and Augusto are 65 years old combined. They're going to have to address this. Now, the number 9 is going to be Costa, like almost certainly, as the Instagram Live video from Sunday show. He is quite eager to
come
back.
The most reliable evidence we've ever had.
Like, seriously, this dude is just out having a street party dressed in his Atletico shirt from 13-14. Like, could you have any clearer indication? Like, oh man, he probably woke up with the biggest headache.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, and especially all the comments. I saw in the video, the clip that someone clipped out of there, there's still the, like, come to Besiktas comments. It's like, he is never going to Besiktas. That is not going to happen.
Yeah, I don't know where that started, but all I know is, like,
I think they're just thirsty.
Very thirsty. They got Pepe. They got a little cocky. But
yeah.
But anywho, yeah. I honestly think Vitolo is, like, their second or third biggest need. That said, he is a need, and he's a really good player. And he's, again, become a full Spanish international. He's in his prime at 27 years old. As long as he doesn't get hurt, then, you know, he has the potential to be... He can change Atletico's attack in ways that Angel Correa can't, that Nico Gaitán couldn't. Even though, I think it's funny, Gaitán is still here, but I'm talking about him like he's not.
Yeah, I mean, he was barely there last season, to be honest.
Like, I find myself more and more speaking like Gaitán has already been moved on. I'm like, you know, he's still in the team. Like, oh yeah.
I keep seeing him in training. I'm like, just dude, are you okay? Are you happy to be here?
So yeah, Vitolo is.
But he is very different to Gaitán.
Yeah, very different. He's more versatile. I think he's a great dribbler. He can play all across midfield, all across the forward line. He does well 1v1. Plays in space, so he'll be really good on the counterattack. I was talking to Chris Lale of Monchi's Men. We got a Sevilla fan perspective on Vitolo's signing. And Chris does say he can be a little selfish at times on the dribble and forget to pull his head up to make the pass. But he is a good finisher. And the other strengths I just mentioned. It suffice it to say, Chris is not too happy that Vitolo has left Sevilla in this way. But then I don't blame him.
Yeah, he did kind of do them dirty.
Say Godin did this, for example. I'm not using Griezmann because Griezmann is the popular one, but Godin has been at Atletico since 2010. He has won almost everything there is to win for a Spanish team. Let's say he had agreed to renewal, but then had his head turned by someone in England and he went to England. This is kind of what that's like for Sevilla fans. And I do feel for them because... This was just so crazy how it happened and how everything seemed like Vitolo was going to come back, and then it just changed on a swivel. So I feel for them, in a way.
Yeah, I do. And I do wonder if the whole, oh, he signed a new deal thing was to get more money out, because that was sort of the insinuation that the Sevilla president made.
Pepe Castro, actually, he didn't insinuate, he actually said it. Like, he used us to get more money. He actually came right out and said it. So, and if that's true, I mean, you got to hear both sides. But if that's true, then yeah, I mean, Vitolo did Sevilla dirty, and Sevilla kind of made him into the player he is today. You know, bought him from Las Palmas when they were in Segunda back in 2013. So it kind of made him who he is. So he should treat them a little better. But that being said, the relationship between Atletico and Sevilla is pretty much all but destroyed at this point. And it didn't have to get there if Atletico had just done what they were supposed to do.
Right, but I did all, you know, as I said on the pod, when I thought Vitolo wasn't going to come, it was always a bit of a concern to me that Atletico were basically going behind Sevilla's back to get this release clause paid. Exactly. So that he could leave them, essentially. So I did always wonder if that was going to be a problem.
And I think it's going to be. I don't think you're going to be seeing many deals between those two in the near future.
No, probably not.
And I'd rather see Atletico's game at Sevilla take place before January, before Vitolo comes, because he might not make it out of that game alive.
Like, yeah, it'll certainly be interesting to watch. I'm glad I'm not him playing in that match.
Like, yeah, like, if they go to the Sanchez-Pizjuan in, like, March, yeah, look out.
That'll be bad.
So, speaking about Vitolo and kind of moving a little more toward Diego Costa, we have a question from Christian. I almost said Christian from a question. A question from Christian.
Okay.
QTP35. No doubt Vitolo and hopefully Diego Costa will have an impact during the second half of the campaign, but what about the first half without them? Yeah, that's more of a question for when we do our preview podcasts later on in the summer. We can address it now. Yeah, the first half's going to be rough. I think we know that. That's kind of how these things work when you aren't allowed to register players immediately, get fresh blood in immediately, and you have to bring back unconvincing lone players like Kronawitzer and Vieto. And you know, Hoto was pretty good, but he was playing in the Portuguese league. The first half, Simeone is going to have to do something he's not a fan of doing, which is rotate. He's got to keep guys fresh for a run in the second half of the season when Vitolo and hopefully Costa come.
Right, and I think more than anything, they just have to stay in it in terms of both competitions. Because the good thing is about the Champions League, which is clearly where Simeone is going to probably put most of his eggs, but that the knockout stage won't start until presumably Costa and Vitolo are in the team again. So Atleti really just have to get through the group, preferably in first, but not necessarily. And then in the league, as long as they're not out of it by December like they were last season, then, you know, there's a chance.
There is. As dominant as Real Madrid have been and probably they are going to be, you got to be able to hang around. Atletico really weren't hanging around after November last season, and they have to put up more of a fight than that. And Simeone is going to have, I don't think he's going to have a choice. He has to put in new faces to keep everyone fresh for the second half of the season with at max three new signings. That's at the maximum. It's probably going to be two, and there is a chance it could be one new signing because Costa's deal isn't done yet. I think we are assuming that Costa's deal is going to get done. Atletico are in absolutely no rush to get it done, but it's not done yet.
Yeah, that's true, and I mean they could make signings presumably in January, but you know we don't know what will happen in terms of injuries and what players will be needed more than others if Gabby totally falls off a cliff. Knock on wood. But you know, other than that, I mean, if they can hang around, as you say, they will need to rotate. But thankfully, as opposed to last year, there isn't a big international tournament. So hopefully that means the players will be a little bit more fresh, have a little bit of a longer preseason, which may make the start of the season a little less terrible.
Yeah, the two draws to start last season, those ended up really hurting. And I think we all knew it when it happened that they were going to hurt. So you gotta
The reality is in La Liga you just can't really drop points that much if you want to be in the title at all.
By not much, you mean ever.
Yeah, literally ever.
Christian also asks, who do we think will get sold this summer to offset the big purchases of Vitolo and Costa? I don't think anyone.
I think Vieto might. It seems like Southampton are sniffing around him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Vieto could.
And which wouldn't shock me.
That's an English team. You better, you know, skin him for everything they have.
Yeah, that would be actually ideal if an English team could overpay for Vieto.
Like, if Atletico can convince Southampton to pay $25 million for Vieto, like, dude, yes, do it. Now.
Even 20.
I would take 20.
Deal.
Because that's what they paid to get him from Villarreal. So that would be breaking even on him after one horrible season.
Yeah, plus whatever Sevilla paid for the loan.
Yeah, after one horrible season, then one so-so season at Sevilla. I mean, I've made this point about Vieto before. I really don't think he has a future in La Liga. I mean, hasn't been able to make it as a starter for three of the best teams in the division. I don't see a future for him there.
No, I don't either. I don't really see him in England either. He's quite a sleight of frame sort of guy, and I mean, the people we see have success there are people like Aguero and Alexis Sanchez, who are also sleight of frame that had success in La Liga, which Vieto has not. So,
but they're stronger.
I don't
they're
see
stronger
him being able to do it there.
Like Alexis is like really strong despite his size.
Yeah.
I mean, Aguero gets,
so is Aguero.
Aguero gets hurt a lot, but yeah, he is too. I mean, I think Vieto could do well in England because he's technically pretty good. He has really good technique, good finisher when he gets in the right areas and when he's fit. But he will probably be the big sale. Either Vieto or maybe Correa goes, although I think Simeone is going to keep him at this point. There were reports in the British press that Liverpool wanted Correa for like $28 million. If that's true, I would have to think twice about that. That's a lot of money for a guy who hasn't really proven himself yet.
Yeah, I think you could probably wring a little bit more out of Liverpool than that, but yeah, this curious thing about Correa is that he is a difficult player to kind of nail down what his best position is, which both makes him useful and kind of a problem to have in the team because you don't know where to play him. But you can also play him in a lot of spaces if people like Carrasco or Vitolo, when he's not there in the first half of the season, you know, if you need him to step in there, he can be on the wing as well.
He's not great out there, but he can at least do a job.
He can do a job, yeah. As they say.
Yeah, we got a lot of questions on Fabinho too, and it doesn't look like that's going to go through.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I honestly kind of prioritize Fabinho over Vitolo.
Yeah, the problem is I think Monaco are putting their foot down, as it were, when it comes to their transfers because they don't need the money because they have a rich owner.
They already sold Silva and Bakayoko.
Yeah, like, and some like other squad players.
Yeah,
so.
For like $100 million, they don't need to make any more sales.
Nah, they're fine. And I guess they can just keep him there. Presumably they have him down to long-term contracts. I don't know their contract situations really, but you know, I'm sure they're fine. Yeah. Unfortunately, for literally every team in Europe, they're just trying to poach their players.
Yeah, I don't think Fabinho goes now. I mean, maybe Atletico come back in for him next year. Next year would make a lot more sense than this year. Like, because Gabby's out of contract next summer too.
Yeah, I get the feeling he'll probably renew unless he falls off a cliff. But even still,
yeah, I don't want to say he's not going to be great this year because he's proving that he's aging really well. But yeah, I don't think he'll fall off a cliff. But I'm not sure how good he'll be. And I think Atletico are going to move more towards Koke and Saul and someone else in central midfield anyway. I think they're going to move more to 4-3-3 this season.
I mean, I hope so. I think we saw last season that 4-4-2 presents a lot of problems for Atletico, given the current squad composition. Because
mm-hmm.
Koke and Saul don't work as a two, really.
No, they work better as a three win, especially Saul when he has a freer role.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he does defensive work that's good for a player that's as good going forward as he is, but he needs someone that's a little bit more defensively minded behind him.
Enter Fabinho.
Yeah. Thomas Partey. Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, as much as I want Fabinho, like, he may not be necessary if Tomas takes a step forward this season. Like, the reports out of training, obviously very early days, saying that he's been really good and Cholo is really impressed with his fitness and how he's gotten on so far. So if Tomas breaks out this season, then that kind of eliminates the need for Fabinho, and that's 45 million euros you don't have to spend.
God, I want him to be good so bad.
Yeah, I know, right? Me too.
He's a really wonderful player. I mean, yeah. He showed last season. I mean, they played him at right back, and he was not awful.
Like,
he's just
as versatile as Fabinho, and we talked about his athletic qualities before and his tactical qualities before. What he doesn't really have in technique, he makes up for by being really strong and fast and physical and really versatile. That's needed.
Yeah, for sure. And I think he's, you know, Fabinho is quite a tall player, but he's not exactly the unit that Thomas Partey is, because he is a bit of a unit, Thomas Partey, and I like that in a player a lot.
Let's talk about Costa. We hinted at him earlier, and his Instagram, his soon-to-be infamous Instagram Live video telling, in which he told Cesc Fabregas to give Conte a hug for him.
Yeah,
what a
legend.
I mean,
God, that would be the worst preseason ever to be there with Costa and Conte after what's happened.
Yeah, what a legend. Well, he's already been given permission by Chelsea to not go on the Far East tour, which is through like China and Singapore. So he's gonna basically stay in Brazil until this deal is done. And he honestly could still be waiting a while, because Atletico are in no rush to get this done. The longer they wait, the more desperate Chelsea get. And the more likely they're going to lower their price, and the more time Chelsea had to find a replacement.
Right, and the report's coming out this week that Chelsea are chasing another former Atletico player in Sergio Aguero, which is crazy.
That's
utterly crazy.
Never happening.
But even still, when I saw that report, I was like really? I'd never considered that, but, you know, there have been a lot of reports that Pep isn't totally pleased with Aguero, but
next week
not entirely
next
surprising.
Week it'll be someone else.
Oh, yeah, probably like, Aubameyang or something. Like, but, oh, he's going to AC Milan like everyone else in the universe.
No kidding. Like, I'm not really sure what's taking them so long. Like, it's already July 17 or July 18 by the time this comes out. It's July 18th. Like, the season starts in less than a month.
Yeah, and they're going with Michi up front.
Like, in Michi, well, he wasn't great last season. He was really good when he was in France. He didn't play a whole lot.
But he didn't play at all last year, basically.
You need someone else. Like, you need that elite forward, because everyone else in the league, in the Premier League, is kind of, you know, recharging their batteries, and, you know, it's like an arms race over there in terms of forwards. But yeah, Chelsea are, they're struggling to get someone in there, and everyone knows that Costa wants out, and everyone knows Costa wants to go to Atletico. But they're not going to sell.
Yeah, doesn't want to go anywhere else.
But they're not going to sell. I mean, Chelsea did the same thing when Atletico went for Felipe Luis 2 years ago. They waited until they had a commitment from Baba Rahman, who was at Augsburg at the time. They waited until they had a commitment from him to be the new left back before they sanctioned Felipe's sale. Same thing happened here. Chelsea want a replacement in, which is their choice. But the longer this goes on, the more impatient Atletico are going to get, the more impatient Costa is going to get, and the more his price is going to sink. And less likely it is Chelsea get anywhere close to his actual value.
Yeah, I mean, the report this week was, what, 30 million euros as an offer for Diego Costa? Which, I mean, that's
for a
ridiculous
forward,
value.
For a world-class forward, gimme.
My God.
And honestly, that may be the thing that happens. Because Chelsea have been, we've known this was going to happen for 2 months now.
Or yeah, because he said it. I mean, he's just come out and said it, and Conte kind of showed his hand a little too early with the whole text.
Yeah, Conte, I don't think he's getting enough slander. Not slander. I don't think he's getting enough stick for that, because he made a big mistake texting him, "Hey, I don't need you anymore. Bye, Felicia." That was a huge mistake, because Costa's just going to go, you know, rat you out in the press. And he's going to tank his value.
Yeah, and that just pissed off Costa, who is one of the biggest, you know, pissed off people in the world already, so
you don't want to give him even more fuel for his fire.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, he's a difficult guy to manage, understandably, so Conte, I mean, I don't really blame him for not maybe wanting him in the squad anymore, because he is a bit of a crazy person, but he's a world-class striker, plain and simple, so, you know.
If you had been,
they kind of screwed up there.
If you had been at his street party, what person or personality type would you have been? Do you guess?
I think I probably would have been cowering in the corner, afraid of Diego, after I saw that video of him like driving the golf cart at Chelsea's training. Lord knows what he does at a street party in Brazil.
I probably would have been the dude who, did you see the dude who was playing the drums?
Yeah.
That would have been me. I would have been like driving the wagon. Else.
Don't talk to me, Diego.
just don't mind me. I'm just banging on this cymbal over here. Just, oh, that's a little snare drum. Just go on, man.
Exactly. Yeah, and I like how he had the collar popped on the Atletico jersey. That's what made it for me.
Yeah, the collar. He looks so happy and so inebriated.
Yeah, I'm sure that he is. Because the story came out this year that Conte like allowed him to have one beer after a match. Diego Costa is just a crazy person, and I love it.
But he's soon to be our crazy person.
Oh, yeah. And when he's your crazy person, nothing else matters.
Yeah, you just put up with whatever. It's whatever. You know, he's always going to be an Atletico legend, because he was the man who led the line when they won the league title in 2014. But him coming back and working so hard to force him to move back just kind of solidifies why Atletico fans love him and want him back so badly, and why there's this obsession over him in Atletico Twitter. It's because not just how good he is, but because he is as dedicated to Atletico and to Simeone as they come.
It is actually really impressive, because you wouldn't think Costa is a player that has such extreme loyalty to a club, but he really does truly love Atletico in a way that a lot of players in the modern game don't.
And a lot of that's down to Simeone.
Oh, yeah, for
sure.
He
inspires this in, like, all of his players. It's remarkable. And how he's going to enter his sixth full season, his seventh overall, as coach. And the players still love him and would die for him. Like, from all indications.
Yeah, it's true. And it's crazy what a crazy team he's built. And to be able to manage a personality like Diego Costa so seemingly seamlessly, I'm sure it's very challenging, but
it's
very
like,
impressive.
Simeone is like him. Simeone is as intense and as crazy as he is, just he does it in different ways. He expresses it differently.
And he has Hermann Burgos there as well, so it's just that's like Costa's like dream scenario.
Yeah. Like, they can party with him, and they can also rein him in.
Oh yeah.
Like, they are kind of, you know, they're buddies. It's a coach player relationship, but it's also, you know, they're friends. They went and had dinner together.
Yeah, I mean, Simeone likes his Instagram pictures and things, which I find very strange that Simeone is as active on Instagram as he is, but it's also not totally surprising.
And all the current Atletico players are, too. Like, they're just, like, subtly hinting at this and driving everyone crazy. Like, Felipe is tagging Costa in photos on Instagram. Like, Saul is liking tweets about, you know, him and Costa.
And, I mean, I think it's very easy to understand how, you know, mouth-watering it is to imagine Diego Costa and Antoine Griezmann being your two center forwards.
You see the
I mean, that's just amazing.
Did you see Griezmann's video today of him dancing oddly?
Oh yeah, like with, in the hotel room.
Yeah, right? With Augusto and Godin, just like Godin's like, okay, dude, you know, I'm just gonna go over here.
Had the picture of like what he had, like a cooking pot on his head.
Yeah, that was the other day.
I don't know what's going on with Griezmann. I mean, he got married and, you know, he
got
dyed his hair a crazy color.
He got married. That's what happened. He got married.
Yeah, I mean, he got married to, you know, just seemingly kind of like a normal person, which I can kind of appreciate.
Costa and Griezmann together, which looks like a possibility for January. That's going to be pretty good. That'll be pretty insane.
That's pretty tasty, yeah.
And a possible front three of Costa, Griezmann, and like Vitolo or Carrasco. That's pretty salivating. Pretty much.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. So the Costa deal,
like that.
It looks like it's very far down the road, but it's kind of at a stalemate right now. It's not really anyone's fault, and Chelsea need to find a replacement. And Costa is more than happy to wait. Atletico are more than happy to wait because, you know, either he's gonna. And it seems like because Atletico are so happy to wait that the plan is for him to, although it's not confirmed yet, the plan is to have him just train until January.
Yeah, and he's okay to do that, I guess. Because I do think he'll probably be the Spain striker, especially exactly. If Morata stays at Real Madrid, he won't play that much.
Yeah, as long as he has, you know, assurances that he'll be in Spain team for the World Cup, then he doesn't care.
I mean, he's definitely Spain's best striker, I would say. I mean, if Morata moves and has a blowout season, then he could possibly usurp Diego Costa, but I don't really see that happening.
Which, right now, it doesn't look like Morata's moving.
Right.
Which, that's a really interesting thing of its own, because he clearly wants to go. He wants to start. He's good enough to start at a lot of other teams in Europe, but I don't think Madrid are holding him hostage, but Madrid are demanding an exorbitant fee for him.
Yeah, I mean, they've had him locked down ever since they put that buyback clause when they sold him to Juventus. Mm-hmm.
They want him for three times what they bought him for. They want 90 million for him, and that's not what he's worth. He's really good forward. He was great last year, especially his second choice to Benzema, but he's not worth 90 million. And Madrid know it, but they're going to hold out for that price. And maybe someone will be desperate enough to pay it.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really think of who. I don't see how Milan can afford that, given how much they've spent already this summer.
That's exactly why they could afford it. Look how much they've already spent. What's one more big purchase for them?
I mean, I guess I'm one of the only people that holds out hope that financial fair play has any kind of bearing on anything.
You are one of the few people left doing that. You are one of the few people left holding that banner.
It should be a thing, but it is not.
No.
Sadly.
No, it was a good job, good effort.
Yeah. When you have a Chinese club or, you know, the PSG owners, they can just set up some sponsor so that it all evens out, then it doesn't make a difference.
Indeed. So we're going to wrap up with some training news. There have been a few bumps and bruises, and there have been a few bumps and bruises and injuries in the early days of training. The most concerning one happened on Monday when Shimi Vrsaljko had to leave training with a recurrence of pain in his left knee. Now, his left knee is the one. The left knee is the knee in which Vrsaljko suffered the torn ACL back in March, and all info that we've gotten is that it's just precautionary, that Vrsaljko will likely be fine, but that's not good to see, especially as the right back position is a really crucial one for Ed Leti. We have a question from Ash at NYC_ATM. How is Juan Fran going to fit into the picture? Cholo tried several positions and he got hurt last year. So if Rusalko is a durability issue, which in the early days of training he is, because he just had to leave with a recurrence of knee pain, then Juan Fran's going to be counted on again, even though Juan Fran himself can't stay healthy. He's going to be the right back. Getting Vitolo kind of ensures that we'll never see Juan Fran a winger again.
Yeah, that ain't happening.
As nice as that little experiment was, it, you know, he got hurt doing it, and then was moved back to right back where he got hurt again. Juan Fran is going to fit in if Rusalko is healthy. Juan Fran's going to be the backup right back, which is a great position for him. If Rusalko is not healthy, he's going to be first choice, which is not as great as it was, you know, a year ago, a little more than a year ago, because he fell off pretty substantially in 2016-17.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I totally agree with you. His position next year is backup right back. I'm not totally surprised that there was some kind of flare-up with Rusalko's knee. I mean, he did fairly recently have a very serious procedure done on a tender ligament in his knee.
He never even had the surgery, though.
And given the physicality of Ed Leti, it's not totally surprising.
Yeah, and he didn't have surgery, if I recall. He was told he didn't need surgery, he just had to heal. So that, in a way,
which is scary.
Yeah, in a way, this is the first time in 4 months that he's really exerting himself and putting pressure on his legs. So it's not surprising he had a flare-up. Hopefully he'll be okay. Like, he was able to go off under his own weight, assisted by, you know, he was walking with the medical staff, so he should be fine. Of course, we'll do up something and discuss what the options are if he's not, but as of now, you know, Rusalko appears to be okay. We'll see what the next few days hold for him.
Yeah, I do hope that the whole not having surgery thing isn't the we're not having surgery so that he's not out for a long time sort of thing, and just kind of hoping it doesn't become a problem again until it inevitably does thing. That just is very scary to me. It never ends up going well.
And the other injuries that we've seen in the first few days are Carrasco rolled over his ankle, but he's fine now. Gamero is still recovering from his groin operation. Gaitan is having muscular problems, which is a great sign.
God almighty.
Lucas had to go off with something, I think, pretty minor on Monday as well. So, yeah, the early days are often a struggle in preseason because Simeone and his staff, they work the guys so hard. Probably this summer more than usual because he has to have everyone drilled from the get-go for a strong start because there aren't going to be many new faces.
Yeah, takeaway. Preseason at Atletico is very hard.
Mm-hmm. It's made players vomit, okay? It's tough.
Yeah, but not something I would like to do. Watch, yes. Do, no.
Well, I mean,
and we have some also fragile players. So.
I mean, you would be cowering in the corner at Costa's street party, so
yeah, I'm not exactly. surprised you want to do that. I definitely don't want to be in a training. I'd be dead.
I mean, full disclosure, I wouldn't either. I would be like, you know, my ankle hurts after like 10 minutes.
Yeah, I'd do my ACL in like 3 seconds.
Hey, how long did it take him to run that sprint? Oh, he gave up after 6 seconds. That would be me.
Yeah. I did one lap, coach. Is that okay?
I kicked the ball. I'm done.
Yeah, I'm going to do finishing training. I'll be right back.
We're
going to
put a bookmark here. That will do it for this edition of Colts Narrow Chat. I'd like to thank my guest, Rob Walker.
Always a pleasure.
Thanks, man. Thanks for coming on. I'd like you to stick around for just a second while I do the sign-off message. You can follow Rob on Twitter at rwalk03. You can follow me at jbbaron. Follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon. You can also listen and subscribe to all new and archived episodes of Colts Narrow Chat on iTunes, Stitcher, Acast, Google Play, and TuneIn. Thank you as ever for listening to Colts Narrow Chat. We will catch you on the flip. Adios.